Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, August 17th, 2015. I'm doing a supplemental podcast today early in the week for this week only because it is a very important subject matter that I didn't think should wait until Friday, but I am going to discuss the religion of peace and how it's developed a complicated bureaucracy for the systemic rape, torture, and murder of children, girls, and other captured women. Many of these girls, thousands of them, in fact, are Christian children of the Christian Yazidi sect. Let me quote from the New York Times, quote, "The systemic rape of women and girls from the Yazidi religious minority has become deeply enmeshed in the organization and the radical theology of the Islamic State. In the years since the group announced it was reviving slavery as an institution." Did you hear that, folks? End quote. They're reviving slavery as an institution. They are reminding the followers of the religion of peace around the world that their holy book, the Quran, makes slavery, especially sex slavery, of infidel children and girls, a holy act. The Times goes on to say that the trade in Yazidi women and girls has created a persistent infrastructure with a network of warehouses where the victims are held, viewing rooms where they are inspected and marketed, and a dedicated fleet of buses used to transport them. A total of 5,270 Yazidis were abducted last year, and at least 3,144 remain in captivity. To process all this, the Islamic State has developed a detailed bureaucracy of sex slavery, including sales contracts notarized by the ISIS-run Islamic courts. This practice is now a recruiting tool to lure conservative Muslim men as fighters, men to whom casual sex is taboo, men who dress their women modestly like ninjas, but they're fine with the rape of children. Go figure, folks. What a religion. The religion of peace, as practiced by the Islamic State, as a vast, growing body of internal policy memos and theological discussions to establish guidelines for slavery, including a lengthy how-to manual issued by the Islamic State Research and Fatwa Department just last month. Leadership reads the Quran to justify slavery, rape, torture, and murder, but also to elevate and celebrate each sexual assault as a spiritual virtue. Quote, "Every time he came to rape me, he would pray," end quote, said a 15-year-old girl who was captured near Sinjar 1 year ago and sold to an Iraqi fighter in his 20s. The Times makes the argument that to defeat an idea, you have to have a better idea. So it seems to me that even if that's true, the bar is pretty low, isn't it? Pretty much any idea short of Nazism would be superior. But wouldn't total destruction of those who adhere to this barbaric ideology also work? Just annihilate them. That would work. That would stamp out their idea, it seems to me. Let me take it closer to home, folks. Look at your daughters. Look at them. Perhaps 12, 13, 14 years old. Isn't that enough? Doesn't that wake you up? Doesn't that make you want to resist? Well, that is what these Yazidi Christian people go through by the thousands as their daughters are torn from them to be enslaved, raped, and eventually, when they are no longer interesting, killed. That's what happened to an American aid worker recently named Kayla Mueller. Age 26, she was chained in a room with other girls. The leader of the Islamic State, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, would regularly enter and lead her away. She would come back crying and tell the other girls that he raped her. The account of their daughter's rapes and eventual murder was relayed to her parents by officials of the U.S. government. According to U.S. government accounts, Ms. Mueller, age 26, was a sexual slave of the Islamic State, which has created a system of organized rape of women and girls considered to be infidels. Details of her capture, repeated rapes, and eventual death were pieced together by American officials. Mrs. Marsha Mueller, Kayla's mother, said that her daughter was a protector to the younger Yazidi girls. They looked to her as a mother figure. This was obtained from some of the children who have since been rescued. Well, her suffering is over, at least for now. The Islamic State said she was killed in a Jordanian bombing raid, but the U.S. government says that that is a bunch of nonsense. Also close to home, and on a different level, we see the strange case of Jalen Young, cheerleader, honor student, member of the high school homecoming court, student at Mississippi State University studying to become a doctor, daughter of a Vicksburg, Mississippi police officer, and a recruit for the Islamic State, who rejoiced, she did, she rejoiced, this all on social media, at the deaths of four Marines killed in the Chattanooga attacks. How did this happen? Well, no one knows for sure, except her, I guess. But she was introduced to the religion of peace by some friends, and through them she met her boyfriend, Mohammed Dakala, whose father ran the Islamic Center of Mississippi, apparently, at least according to FBI reports. Miss Young, age 19, was the instigator of a plot to fly from a small Mississippi town to Atlanta, then to Istanbul, where they would make their way across the border into Syria. Miss Young married Miss Dakala, the FBI says, only because it is forbidden for single Muslim women to travel alone. So she was swept up in something, communicating on social media with her friends, an email with her friends about her plans to join the Islamic State. These friends turned out to be FBI agents. Now the Vicksburg police officer has lost his beautiful young daughter to the religion of peace. She will soon be a convicted felon, and she will wear that label for the rest of her life. Well, let me summarize all this for you folks. Am I saying that the average Muslim walking the streets of America supports slavery and rape and murder? No, but Islam does. If you talk to the average German in 1939 on the streets of Berlin, I'm sure he would probably seem pretty average, just a normal person. But still, we firebombed his cities. Why is Islam so protected by our progressive friends today? Why will they not come forward and tell people who these people really are? For the same reason, I would argue, that the intellectual elite of writers, university professors, and entertainers and others protected Nazism, Stalinism, and Maoism. They want to destroy Western civilization, and they're doing a good job of it. They hate God. And by destroying Christianity, they destroy him, and they don't have to answer to him anymore. Finally, folks, the Islamic State has declared war on America. Hitler did that. We firebombed his cities into a pile of rubble. Can't we at least do something? Can't we at least express moral outrage at these people, these barbarians? If we can't say that what they're doing is barbaric, then what's left? What is it going to take to motivate this country? At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, thanks for listening. This is Darrell Castle.